Good morning, Hillside. It is Pastor Eric with you today for today's devotion, this Friday devotion before we head into the weekend. So glad I can be with you here today from my office. As you can see, we're going to be talking about a subject that often can bring anxiety and maybe has brought anxiety to you. So before I do anything else, please, let's see if you can see my shirt. Please read the words of my shirt. Oh, this way. It says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. And I'm going to give you good reason for not being afraid this morning. Sorry, you had to look at my gut in order to recognize that. But be not afraid. Why do I say that when we're talking about the end of the world? I have obviously gotten a lot of questions about that recently. I've gotten definitely seen lots of people, you know, just filled with a little anxiety when they think about this. And so I figured I'd just tackle this head on and ask the question, is this the end? Do we have any reason to believe that this could be? Let's dig into the scriptures and find out. So I'm going to look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. It reads like this: but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. End of reading. Let me just pause here to close my door before I move on, okay? Okay. Well, of course, the longer this pandemic goes on, the more people speculate about, you know, whether this is it, whether we are heading towards the final days. And so before I go any further, let me just answer that question right up front. Are we living in the last days? Well, in one sense, I can always answer that question with yes. In fact, the church has always given that answer from the very beginning of its existence. Ever since the dawning of Christ and his ascension to the right hand of God the Father, the church has proclaimed that we are actively, presently in the last days. For the last 2,000 years, we've been in these last days. So again, I want to answer the question very clearly and unequivocally up front. Yes, this could be the end. Is it likely the end? Well, the fact is, I mean, what we're seeing today in the world is not really new. And so if I'm just looking at the tea leaves and trying to determine if this is really the end, if I'm just looking at the signs of the times and trying to determine that, well, we'll get into this a little bit later. But the fact is, the world has had much worse pandemics in the past, many worse wars, and plenty more persecution of Christians before the time we're in now. So I don't think that we can say for sure anything about this, except that the church has always been in the final days. What we can talk about is what Jesus says in our passage, and that is that we are to be ready for his second coming, for the end. And to make matters even maybe more challenging, he tells us that we need to be ready for his coming at any time. So the question I want to deal with today is, how is it we can be ready for the great day of the Lord? Well, some have said maybe we should try and speculate and figure out the day. This certainly has been a fairly normal practice throughout history. After all, Jesus does say there will be signs of his coming, so it makes sense that people would try and interpret those signs, hoping to pin down the date. Just a little while back, you heard all sorts of talk about the, you know, the blood moon stuff. It was all nonsense. I've been to prophecy conferences and have seen seemingly sound Bible teachers get way too close to predicting the time of Jesus's coming. In fact, the problem with the option of trying to figure out the day is Jesus's very words. He literally says, concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. If I can boil that down for you, what Jesus's point is no persons know. So, we are simply wasting our time if we spend it seeking to try and figure out the exact time that Jesus will come. The fact is, he will come as a thief in the night. And just like the flood of Noah's day came suddenly, no one will have the exact intel beforehand. So if anyone tells you they've figured out the time, just do yourself a favor and wave bye-bye, because it's not true. It's just not true. So, all right, we've eliminated that option. We're not going to figure out the day. We're not going to figure out the exact time. Well, then the second option is one that many people have taken, is maybe we should just go into hiding. Again, that has also been something that Christians throughout history have been drawn towards, at times just exiting from normal life in anticipation of the end. We see it even in the first century with the Thessalonian church refusing to work, some of their members, because they figured, why work? Why get up and do anything? Because Jesus can come at any point. Now, these folks, I don't think, are saying that they know the exact time, but they live as if they're pretty certain it will be in their generation. And so they tend to draw into more communal settings until that day comes and they huddle up with each other in escape from the wicked world. So the question is there something to that? Is there something to maybe huddling together in escape? Well, again, according to Jesus's words, not really. And here's why. Jesus says the way it will be when he returns is people will be, quote, eating, drinking, and marrying. In other words, we're all kind of living normal lives. Jesus tells us that his return, the believer and the unbeliever both are going to be working in the field, and they are both grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. And so Paul, writing to that same Thessalonian church, to those who had started to quit working in anticipation of Jesus' return, says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat, for we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Now, of course, Paul is not saying those words to people who have lost work, you know, out of their control. He is saying this to people that refuse to work and have tried to escape from the world. The point of all of this is we don't get to escape normal life expectations by waiting in a commune somewhere for the end to come. But we, in fact, as Christians, engage in normal day-to-day activities of our given vocations. We are, as Jesus says, in the world, but not of the world. And the good news for you is that you don't have to start living as if you're responsible for your own little grain silo in the backyard, unless you like to for your own pleasure, but you don't have to. Well, that's the second option that we've eliminated. So it doesn't do us good to try and figure out the day and speculate. It will only drive us crazy. And we're not given the option of sort of escaping from the world. So then there's a third option that I think has been very common among some traditions, and that is just to simply ignore the whole thing. In any number of churches, this seems to be sort of the de facto position, because talk of Jesus' return really never seems to come up at all. And focused, you know, so much on the sort of the felt need of their hearers at any given time, talk of the second coming can seem either just too abstract or too far out there for us to spend too much time dwelling on it. Although I suspect that that is not the case right now, as we're living in this sort of lockdown situation. It's in fact one of the reasons that Pastor Bruce and I here at Hillside decided to go through the book of Revelation on Tuesday nights at Lumen for most of the year, because we wanted to tackle misconceptions and fears that people had about the last days. And so, you know, the tendency, though, is maybe we should just ignore it since we can't figure out the time and, you know, we're not able to escape from the world anyway. The problem, of course, is, again, Jesus says to do just the opposite. He commands us in this passage, keep watch, and he likens us to an owner of a house who is constantly on the lookout for a burglar. As a matter of fact, in Greek, R.C.H. Lenski captures the feel of the phrase to keep awake by saying, constantly keep your eyes open, be aware. So let's just put all this together. We shouldn't ignore his coming, the last day, but we shouldn't try and figure out the day. Nor should we excuse ourselves from regular life activities to the degree that, you know, we can. Right now, we kind of have to do that, but that's not the norm, and we shouldn't impose that on ourselves unless we're forced into that situation because of our neighbor's health. Instead, the picture that seems to be created for us is that we do, in fact, you know, we do go to work and invest and play with our kids and eat and have fun and share the faith with our neighbors and do all of life's regular activities while always at the same time living in this tension, this utter awareness that indeed today, any day just might be the last day. That's sort of the biblical picture that we're given to this question. We're not going to ever try and predict for you here at Hillside when that day will come. We're going to say, it could, in fact, be any day. And so we live in light of that reality. So the final question I want to ask here as we sort of wrap up our time answering this question briefly is this question. Are you ready enough for the last day? Are you ready enough? I can't tell you how many preachers I heard growing up that would ask that question, remain dramatically silent for a long while, you know, that real pregnant pause, and then ask us to do an inventory of our sins. Are you really ready, or have you lusted? Are you really ready, or have you been lazy? Are you really ready, or have you been walking in the flesh? Now, of course, every single person in that room, based on the criteria the preacher was giving, would have to say, if they were even remotely honest, no, I guess I'm not ready. I've forgotten. I've become distracted. I can, you know, barely get my family ready for church, let alone get myself ready for the second coming of Jesus. I mean, and the fact is that confession would be honest, folks. It would be true and accurate. And to some extent, it's true about every single one of us. None of us, in fact, in and of ourselves, is actually ready enough. So then the question comes, does that mean that we're sort of doomed? Well, contrary to what that old preacher that I had heard back in the day might have told you, I am here to tell you the good news that your readiness for the last day ultimately isn't up to you. The Bible declares that your redemption is something that Christ has already accomplished for you. The good news for those who believe is that he not only saved you, but continues to save you until the last day. Thus, Paul writes to the Philippian church in chapter 1, verse 6, I am sure, certain, persuaded, utterly convinced of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ, the last day. Who's doing the verbs? Or check out what Paul writes to the Thessalonian church. Remember that church that he rebuked for sort of trying to escape from life? He says towards the end, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he closes it with these words. How comforting is this? He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Surely he will accomplish this task of keeping us ready and blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or maybe listen to Ephesians 6. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Do you see it? Do you see that it is actually through believing that Jesus has made you ready enough, that you in fact are ready enough? That it is dwelling on the gospel of peace, that is what Jesus has done for you, that actually readies you? Jesus was already ready in your place through his perfect life. He was ready in your place through his sacrificial death. Jesus was ready in your place at his resurrection. He is ready in your place at his ascension, and he'll be ready in your place to take you home to be with him again forever and ever. So we watch for him and his return for that last day, in fact, with great anticipation, not fear. We look for his coming again because we know that then all fear will actually be alleviated and all sin will be gone and our faith will be sight. We look up because our redemption draws near. So even if you can barely get yourself ready for church or work or whatever the case may be, the good news is Jesus has made you ready for his coming and you can rest as you keep watch. All right, that is our devotion for Friday morning. May God richly bless you. May you have a wonderful weekend. I hope to see you soon, Hillside family. God bless.